Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Babysitting Trevor, episode 4 of season
3. With me, Chris.
If anyone didn't know there, Chris Martin. was using his fingers to show me what numbers I was meant to say.
Yeah. It's Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin.
Hey guys, soon we're going to have Trevor Crook.
I'm excited this week. We're going back on the voice memos.
Back on the voice memos, mate. It's good. You get to catch him unguarded on his own, in his own environment.
Yeah, on an iPad.
Yeah, which is actually working out.
Just about.
Yeah, he's getting, I think he's starting to get the hang of it, I think.
He said last week that he had to wash it after I'd
After used, you touched it with your I'd grubby mitts.
My grubby mitts. So, be interesting to hear what he's been rambling about around the flat. And
it was a group task. We were busy this week, so we couldn't actually do a group task. But producer Joel stepped in. They went on a group boat trip, which I'm actually really jealous about.
Yeah, it sounds very romantic.
I know. Just two of them up the Thames. I'd love to have gone on that. Maybe we should do one.
Yeah, maybe we should do
just
one.
Me and you as a,
at night time.
Okay.
With the stars out.
Let's do it.
Right, let's see how Trevor's. Hey, Trev.
Hey, Trev.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
We are well.
There we go.
We're good. We're jealous that you went on a boat trip this week.
Yeah, we're nothing to be jealous of. We're just sort of all right. Fucking, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that shortly.
I wasn't enraptured by it. I thought it was quite good.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll hear more about the facts.
One thing I want to bring up, which is obviously quite a visual thing for our listeners, is what do you think of Carl's trousers, Trev? They're really unnerving me.
I can't judge him by his clothes, because who am I to judge anyone by their clothes? But I think they're quite nice.
Is that? I agree.
I like the redness. The red has an emotional effect on me from childhood.
Really?
Yeah, the...
Have you got a favourite colour? Is it red?
I don't know whether it's red now. It used to, the most impactful, if that's a word, is red.
You're bull.
The most impactful colour.
Yeah,
is
you want to
look. It's the most striking colour.
It is. Yeah,
it means danger.
Yeah. Oh, does it?
Yeah, it does. It's like in loads of books, like a Smith Scarlet or whatever it is.
Or stop signs are red. Yeah, I think it is instinctive. We have an instinctive response.
Blood is red.
Yeah, yeah. I had a red fort. My dad made me a red fort when I was a kid, like seven.
Really?
And that was red, the same
you
red.
You lived in it until you were 42.
Yeah, that's right. I lived in it. Very low rent.
He just sort of put some food on the drawbridge and he had to like bring it back over.
And then the red double-decker buses, you are very excited by them. The old-fashioned double-deckers where you could jump on the back. And when I saw the red...
very excited by them.
I love red double-deckers. When you saw the bus coming towards you, you'd get all fucking, like a fucking dog. Like a dog on heat.
He's chasing a red bus down the street.
Yeah, here comes a bus. Fuck, I fucking love double-deckers.
Did you ever used to jump off while they were still moving?
Oh, yeah, all the time, yeah.
Me and my friend Philip, I think it's Philip Ives, once jumped off one. It was going way too fast. Well, we just both went down, mate.
Yeah.
The roads properly stacked it.
One of my favourite things I've ever seen was when I was a kid, I saw a woman going around the roundabout in Sloane Square, holding on to them with a handle, and you just saw her fly off. Yeah. Right? But it was honestly the hardest woman I've ever seen. Like, honestly, properly, you just go, phew, like that, landed... Did that thing just dusted herself down and walked off?
No,
like, literally, like so confident. Like, that's how she always gets off the bus. She's like, screw dinging the bell and walking. She's like, all right, got to get to work.
Maybe that's how she gets off the bus normally. That was like just a normal.
I know, it was bizarre. It was. Have you never fallen off, have you?
No, no, I've never fallen off a bus.
But then you wouldn't like the bus. You'd have a fear of buses, I'm guessing.
No, I don't have a fear of... I always love double-deckers, and I like to sit up the front and pretend
top
driving.
Front,
yeah,
top front's great.
Yeah, like I'm still fucking driving a bus.
So have you got a favourite colour?
You've got least favourite colour?
Least favourite colour's quite...
I think I'll go on emotional impact. I mean, red has an emotional impact on me. Pink does as well. Pink.
Positive impact?
In a sort of a calming...
So do you like the bench, my outdoor bench?
No, not really, but the... the colour. I do like the colour.
Yes.
I do like the colour. Okay. When I was a teenager, I wore black. I want like a fucking
goth
ninja or something. I had a black T-shirt.
Also, you were learning karate as well.
Eh?
You were doing karate, right?
Yeah. I learned karate from the age of about 14.
So you were in black doing karate?
Yeah, you had to be in your gang. You had, when I was younger, you had rockers and sharpies.
So you had to dress like a permanent marker. Is that why you were in black?
So I suppose over here you'd call them mods or something. Yeah, like that. Australia would call them sharpies because I think the hairdo was like a bit sharp at the top. Or something.
Right, a quiff.
So I like the sharpies hairstyle, but I prefer the rockers clothing, like the studded belts, black shirts, tight black pants, and leather jackets. I loved all that, but I didn't like the hair because
Did you merge the two?
I merged the two because I had big ears, so I didn't like the slick back because my ears are fucking.
So you were Rockies.
Well, it confused people because there'd be constant violence between the two groups, and they didn't know whether to hit me or not because I had their hairdo. But then again, I was wearing the opposition's fucking clothing.
It's the perfect way of never getting beaten up.
Yeah, that's right. So then the Sharpies, they liked my hairdo but didn't like my clothes. So I was like a hybrid, basically. Yeah. And I survived.
Like a Toyota Prius.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great. A
combination Sharpie and rocker. A fucking shogger.
You're a shogger.
That's
great. Yeah. All right. So there's no colours you hate. Do you ever see a colour and think, ugh?
I can't hate a colour because what has the colour done to me?
That's good, good logic.
Totally innocent.
It's totally innocent. Colour you dislike?
No, I quite like white. This is I like the paint here. Look like the neutralness of it.
Yeah, it's quite minimal room.
Yeah, I like minimal.
Good feng shui, this room.
Oh, is it okay?
Feng shui, I believe it's pronounced. You know anything about feng shui?
Yeah, about the.
That's actually not another bloke. His name is not a Chinese bloke called feng shui.
No, yeah, feng shui. Yeah, I know it.
Did your Chinese ex-wife ever insist on feng?
Yeah, she was into feng shui. So I think she arranged the house or the flat along feng shui lines, but our marriage was totally fucked. So it didn't work.
No, it didn't.
So, but she was into feng shui. And
did she have any weird, like, obviously I've never, because she was like, you know, culturally a bit different. Obviously, come properly from China to Australia.
Yeah.
Obviously, the slippers thing you mentioned in season one, that was obviously quite different to what we have to do normally. Anything else, like, kind of odd about, I don't know, like, any weird furniture, any weird rules?
Oh, a lot of weird rules, yeah. Like washing my feet before bedtime. In like a bucket. I did it initially because I thought it was a cultural thing, if I can go along, but then I started to really get the shits with it. And but she imposed it on me. She was very that sort of woman. She liked dominating.
Literally, she put a bucket by your side of the bed
and you
had to wash your feet before you go to bed.
That's right.
But that's like, it's weird that you, because actually some OCD people, I never really think of that, but some OCD people don't like taking their foot on the floor onto the bed because it was dirty, but I never really.
I remember once I just kicked the bucket over the other side, bucket full of water, just bang, I've just fucking had enough. But I thought that was, looking back on it, I think it's probably a nice thing to do to wash your feet before bed,
actually.
It's nice and warm.
Extra
warm
admin, water. Though. I still resent having to brush my teeth,
Yeah.
So the fact of having to do more and
I used
admin.
To, you know, I prefer, I go to bed, I used to go to bed like in my socks sometimes, or even my fucking shoes, if I couldn't be fucked taking my shoes off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know about when you were a kid where you went to bed fully dressed periods of time.
I did. And when I was older, I'd occasionally do that. What, just couldn't
she,
be fucked.
Did she not get annoyed that you were in bed with your shoes on?
Oh, no, I'd never do it when she was around.
All right. And, the wife's away. We're going to wear my shoes to bed.
No, Hattie was very domineering, quite violent. I told you about the violence towards me. Like, she used to hit me in the head with, the heel of a shoe.
Oh, God.
She'd come up to me and hit me in the fucking head with it. Like, just when I wasn't expecting it to get.
Oh, God.
She'd call me a Chinese word, Gandu. She'd call me Gandu.
What's Gandu mean?
It's like mentally disabled, retarded, whatever you are.
Yeah.
It was a Chinese word for it.
Yeah.
So you say you're a gandu and fucking.
You're still mates of her.
Yes, I am actually. Yeah, you know, fuck it. Bygones. What is it? Let bygones be bygones.
She hasn't eaten her head with a shoe for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, that's right.
She can only go up from there.
No, she woke me up one morning about 4 o'clock and shook me, and I woke up and she said, "You ruined my life. Why? Oh, why you ruined my life? God. Why?" You know, and then I started thinking about it and go, "Well, why did it ruin your life?" And I just got up one morning and thought, fuck it, what can I do today? I know, I'll ruin a life. I've ruined my own. I'll fucking branch out.
She woke you up to say that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. She was very disenchanted with me. You know, she expected much better from me.
Really?
Well,
you sound like a taskmaster.
Well, I wouldn't work, you know, and this is a job. I don't know if I told you the story about the job as a garbo. There's a job going in Canberra, casual work at the garbos, meaning if you show up on the day.
What's a garbo?
A garbage collector.
Oh, yeah.
So the,
my dad says that's a job that he did once and he loved it.
It was a good job. It was like you ran, this was before technology, so you ran 10Ks a night. No. With lifting rubbish bins, so they're in very good condition. I was in good nick, then I could have done it.
Yeah.
But you had to go to the depot at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I wasn't fucking keen on that. But anyway, she heard about this, so she was determined to get me that fucking depot. She kicked me out of bed at 4 a.m, and I didn't want to go at all. And anyway, I made out to fucking, I'm going, and but my plan was to just not go, just to fucking go around the corner and sit under a tree for an hour and come back to Ireland. All the positions were taken.
Right.
So I walked up the street. This is 4 o'clock in the morning in Canberra. I looked around, and she was on the footpath, just like right behind me like that. She followed me all the way to the depot.
Oh, Jesus.
And I turn around, and fucking Hattie'd be there, arms folded, legs, open like that. So and then she just followed me the whole way to the depot, and she was so determined to get me a job. She'd never worked a fucking self, by the way. She never worked a day in her life. But you're determined, as me, the breadwinner, the male, the leader, the fucking alpha male, it was my responsibility to work. So I went to the depot, but all the jobs were taken that day, so a number of people showed up. I didn't get the fucking job anyway for that night, and so I just fucking came back. And but she was so, she was looking, just wanted me to work and be a real man.
It's a weird thing for her to do, though, to get up.
Yeah.
Not to work herself, but to, like, that's a lot of effort for her to go to.
Yeah.
To ensure that you try to.
She's just trying to get me motivated. You can imagine she meets me, and I haven't worked for 20 years. You know, been on the dole for 20 years.
The clue's in the past.
Yeah, I lived in a government flat. I had no furniture in that fucking flat. I had a clothes dryer left to me by the government.
Yeah.
And I had a television and a video recorder and 3 porn tapes. That was it. I had no curtains. I had no furniture at all.
No curtains. You had 3 porn tapes.
Yeah.
So what about chairs and stuff?
No chairs.
Just that did you sit on?
The floor.
Just on the floor watching porn.
Yeah, very, very poor quality, actually. So there was no, I had a mattress, a single mattress.
It's on the floor?
On the floor, yep. Right. And that was it. And
Was that after the caravan?
That was after the caravan.
Are you just sort of at this point, there's like presumably nothing for, you know, people go on like a holiday and they're on TripAdvisor and they go, it was a bit like damp in the room. Presumably nothing really phases you in terms of accommodation.
No, not really. I go into a place and before I just make it like this is my home and then I feel comfortable. What it is doesn't really matter so much. Could be a fucking cardboard box.
Yeah.
And then I had no vacuum cleaner, so there was tufts of carpet everywhere, like weeds growing out of the fucking carpet. I just couldn't...
Weeds growing out of the
carpet? Yeah, like carpet weeds. I don't know what the fuck they were. And so she comes into my life. And she takes a look at this. No fridge, you know. No food in the flat. Packet of biscuits.
How did you eat then?
I'd usually go to an El Cheapo place or tin stuff. You know, it's living like a fucking dog.
Literally,
really.
Okay.
Yeah. Then she comes into my life straight away. She knows people at the Chinese embassy who were going back to China, and they had all this furniture to sell. Yeah, for $200, we got like a fridge and a lounge suite and all this stuff. So straight away she makes it homely. Yeah. And she'd get some curtains and fucking, you know what I mean? It's like changed my life.
What did she do with the porn videos?
Oh, no, I hid them in the...
Where? Under the mattress on the floor?
No, the oven. I think it was the oven.
Oh, yeah, the old oven trick.
The old oven fucking technique. And so she changed my life. So straight away she's thinking, well, I've changed your life for the better. You've got to do something for me. It's, get a job.
And instead,
and you just thought,
how can I avoid doing that?
No, well, when you've been unemployed for 20 fucking years, it's a long time to be on the dole, isn't it?
Now, mate, now.
Look at me now. Well,
But you're doing all sorts of stuff now.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah, I know. I was creative back then. I'd write short stories and so on. But, I mean, every other aspect of my life was, fucking disaster, basically.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If I'm going to record the moods and they're going to be played to other people, I'm quite professional. I'm very, very sort of upfront with my moods and what I'm thinking.
So, you've been doing voice memos this week on the iPad.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
People really enjoyed listening to them last time you did them, so yeah, it's popular demand. We've brought them back. Joel, do you want to give us a little taster of what Trev's been up to this week?
Yeah, Judah's gone out to something cultural or some shit like that. I'm just wandering around the house in my underpants, watching the cricket. Just ate some yogurt and strawberries, so quite an eventful evening so far. I've just read Donald Trump's speech. What an embarrassment that fuckwit is. He says he's going to totally destroy North Korea. Not destroy it, but totally fucking destroy it. Well, I think he's basically full of shit, like they all bluff. Can't even beat the Taliban, and he wants to take on an actual country.
Yeah. So quite a lot in that.
Yeah. Firstly, well done on using the iPad.
That's all right, yeah, get the hang of it.
You managed to do it, and you got it to Joel, and then you've...
Yeah, watched the cricket.
Was it one day?
Yes, one day. And
good game?
I think it got rained off. Yeah.
You don't even remember. But it was fine. So that's what... maybe it must have been rained off. That's why you were just reading about Donald Trump then.
Yeah. I mean, I think the cricket was rained off. The comedy wasn't. Donald Trump wasn't rained off. So it was just me having a choice of going out, staying in, listening to Trump, or watching the cricket, which had been rained off. But they had repeats of previous games to cover.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Just watched repeats.
Repeats and a bit of warm up. Sort of scaremongering war stuff. Do you think we're going to go to war?
No, I don't. No, it's all bollocks, all bluffing. Yeah. You know, you just can't go. You can't afford to go to war because there's a lose-lose situation.
Well, a lot of people would die if North Korea and
very shit war if no one died.
Well, I don't know much about this topic. What's the whole thing with North Korea shooting missiles at Japan or over Japan?
This is the backstory, right? This is the backstory. In the 1950s, America bombed the fuck out of North Korea.
Yeah.
Killed 2.5 million people. They leveled 76 cities. They blew up all the dams, so all the crops and that were washed out and people were drowned and so on. They dropped thousands of tons of anthrax on the place, plus napalm. So, nasty shit.
Yeah.
So then the North Koreans, who actually fought the Japanese during World War II, they fought the Japanese, and South Koreans collaborated with the Japanese. So actually, coming into World War II, North Koreans were the goodies, really. Yeah. And so then what happened is you get these dictators. I'm not, fucking condoning the dictators in North Korea. They are fucked, no two ways about it. But nevertheless, that's what it is. And in the 1990s, they had an agreement with America. We'll stop all nuclear testing if you do three things. Build us two nuclear power stations for because you destroyed the infrastructure during the Korean War.
Yeah.
Get rid of sanctions and have normal diplomatic relations with us. And the Americans said yes.
Yeah.
And then what happened? The North Koreans dismantled their nuclear weapons systems or whatever, and but the Americans reneged on fucking everything, and they didn't do anything.
Right? Really?
Yeah. So then you have this. Then the North Koreans see Gaddafi getting murdered, and because he didn't have nukes, and Saddam, same thing. So the dictator goes, "Well, fuck it, I better get some nukes."
Yeah.
So anyway, you got this volatile situation, and then the Americans have war games on the North Korean border every year, big war games,
yeah.
300,000 troops, where they mimic or simulate invading North Korea, which is a direct provocation. And then North Korea fires off a few missiles as a nuke test. More of a
why towards Japan? Why
no? They're sort of like warning everyone that this is what they can do.
Right.
They don't like the Japanese because the giant Japs, fuck, whatever you call it. I call them Japs, who gives a fuck. But the
Japanese.
The Japanese, the honourable Japanese nation,
yeah.
Were absolute cunts during World War II, and they absolutely decimated North Korea. Again, killed millions of people, massacred hundreds of thousands by hand, actually. You know, when you have a massacre and you bomb people, the Japanese used to massacre people, but fucking individual fucking stabbings and shit. So it's like very brutal and nasty. So the North Koreans don't like the Japanese. So they fired a warning shot over the bow, and that's basically what's happening.
Basically waving their cock around. At the moment,
waving their cock around. The Americans are just trying to create instability in the region. But
right, let's hear what else Trev's been muttering about.
Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror, and I've got quite a good mirror, very good lighting, and I'm quite pleased what I see. I mean, some mirrors lately I look absolutely fucking appalling. I've had photos taken on like Instagram, and I look like someone. Drag me out of a failed plastic surgery, mate. It's fucking absolutely appalling. But tonight I'm looking in the right mirror and looking all right. And just aging, mate, it's a fucking terrible thing. I feel sorry for young, beautiful women. Yeah, they're young and they're beautiful, then they get older and turn to shit. It's really fucking depressing. Better being born plain and ugly than as you get older, you got fuck all to lose. Unfortunately for me, I was born rather attractive.
So obviously you've got a good mirror
at home.
I have a very good mirror. I don't know if it's a mirror or the lighting, but I look rather fucking hot.
Really?
Yeah. Feng Shui says you should always have mirrors in your house.
Oh, they do have mirrors.
Mirrors are like windows, aren't they? So,
If
you've got quite a small room, you should have a mirror on it to open up the room.
Of course, So that's good. You've got a good mirror to look at to give yourself a nice boost to get yourself
out of confidence, actually, because if I see myself in a bad mirror, then I go, well, that's what I look like, and I've got the image in my head, and I go, I don't feel like leaving the house. If I look like that, I can't possibly leave
the
house.
You've got the good mirror, and you still don't feel like leaving the house.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe you need a couple more good mirrors.
I just need good mirrors, mate. And the way I look on Instagram is just appalling, whether it's lighting or fucking...
It's probably the camera. Makeup. It's probably the camera, mate.
Is it the camera?
I don't know.
Fuck me, dead.
Lighting, it's all different. Yeah. Every photo of you will always look different.
Well, that's why we're going to get, for the final episode of this season, we're going to get a proper professional photographer.
Professional photographer.
And it's all about the lighting.
He's excellent. We've worked with him before for Edinburgh photo shoots.
I don't know whether to shape them up. Julia said I should cut the side handlebars, trim them off or keep
them.
No,
I like them.
Yeah. I don't like the grooves. Got grooves and tucking
them. What age did you first get a moustache?
15.
No, but have you had a moustache on your face since you were 15?
Yeah.
And you've never been moustacheless?
No way.
That's so weird. You must be curious to know what your face looks like.
I've shaved it off once. It looked shocking.
Really?
Oh, fucking hell. Horrible.
My mate's dad, Clive Jarman, shaved his moustache off without telling his wife when we were on holiday with him about 15 years ago.
Mm.
And she went to the bathroom crying.
Oh, my God.
Because he looked so...
Yeah.
It took her a while to notice, like we all noticed.
Yeah.
Well, the beard and moustache cover up faults in your face.
Can you grow a beard, a full beard?
No, I can't really. I mean, it'd probably be grey anyway, I think, so it wouldn't fucking look any good.
But that's cool now. There's loads of... It's a new, fashion thing is... Sort of older guys growing big grey beards and looking really cool. It's quite slick hair.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I saw an old bloke on the train at Bankstown Station, about in his mid-70s. He had jet black hair. It was a badly fitting wig.
Yeah.
And you go, what the fuck were you worrying about? Yeah, he probably thinks, now I've got this, I'll probably pick up a root or something, but it's, what I mean?
That's most Australian centres of the podcast.
Mate, you're fucking, everyone knows you're mid-70s. It won't make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
And this fucking vanity thing when you're 75.
I think wigs are a weird one.
Yeah.
If you lost your hair, because you've got a good lid. If you lost your hair, would you ever consider getting a, what's that, like plants,
oh, hair plugs.
I don't know. Yeah, I'll probably wear a cap or some shit. I did see a bloke's wig fly off during a judo exhibition. That was quite fun. Yeah, the bloke...
punched his wig off.
Yeah, he fucking... He was getting thrown. Yeah. And he was this bloke... His name was Ronnie. He was a friend of my dad, but he was very... really paranoid about his fucking wig. You know, he always made sure it was on correctly. And all. No one will know I've got a wig. But he got thrown. Big fucking hip on Sayonagi. Big, which is a big throw in judo. And his fucking wig went flying. It was like an audience of 150 people.
That's amazing.
So he gets up, you know, his wig's fucking over in the corner like a fucking squirrel or something. And he's bright red with embarrassment.
Oh, no.
He runs off and... But then he comes back and he's put it on crooked.
Oh no. Once it's gone, you can't. You've just got to own it.
Why put it back on everyone knows now?
Yeah. Now, vanity, I'm very vain. And as you get older, you can't afford to be vain because you're going to turn to fucking shit. No two ways about it.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I thought that, you know, old people are... The way they carry on is fuck. When you get to that age yourself, you go, oh, fuck, it's not that, you know what I mean? It's not that easy.
So you basically saying also your main issue is that you were born quite handsome and it's gone a little bit downhill in your mind.
Yeah,
whereas it'd be better if you, how would you prefer to have been born now retrospectively looking?
It's hard to say. I was an absolutely beautiful kid, like fucking adorable. And absolutely adorable, like a little fucking angel. And then I went to the Metropolis.
Cherub, like a little cherub.
Yeah, and then I should try and get that old photo, maybe, and just melt your heart. and then when I was like, you know, my teenage years, my 20s, and I was fucking something special, fucking hot.
It was just a shame that you were
living
in a caravan for 3 years and
going out and having food served to you through like a hatch.
Yeah, I sabotaged my best fucking years. That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
We did have a hatch in it, actually, fucking on the top. But yeah, right. I think being on the dole for 20 odd years just was a template for the rest of my life, really. And it's sort of, I thought I was doing the smart thing. I'm outwitting the system, but I was actually fucking myself up.
Yeah. But anyway, at least you're learning from the
areas. But then you say that, there's people who've got anxiety issues and other issues like yourself that worked all those years.
Yeah, that's right.
So they had a tougher time.
Yeah.
At least you had 20 years on a dole.
Yeah, that's right.
So there are some positives.
Yeah. 20 years on a dole, unbelievable. I should have a plaque or something in my fucking honour, shouldn't I?
On the side of the caravan.
Yeah.
Right, let's hear your final memo, Trevs.
Yeah. I've been hanging around with younger people like Chris and Carl. It sort of keeps me going mentally. I did a run with them today, and I thought we'd do better than I did. Yeah, a bit disappointing. But then I forgot their legs are 25 years younger than mine. So I did okay. Didn't disgrace myself. But let's see if they can bench 180 fucking pound.
Yeah. So so that's it.
So that's the last episode. You were still sort of ruined the loss in the sprint race.
But you still back yourself on a bench press.
Back myself on the bench press. I back myself... I think, well, you know...
Arm wrestle. I reckon you could take us in an arm wrestle.
I don't know. I think I back myself in certain things, but you're still younger than me, so I've got the fucking youth advantage. I can't compete on, you know... On
just
got
to stop competing. If you just... I bet you could, you know... You could probably outrun most dudes in your age.
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah. Yeah. And fighting-wise, I'd fucking annihilate them. any pension I got in my way, they'd be fucking...
Dead.
Just take them down, mate.
Yeah.
Fucking Bruce Lee style.
Yeah. Do you ever do this? Is this me that when I'm in a restaurant sometimes, if I'm sitting with my wife, I will sit in a seat and I always face the door in case some attackers come in and I plan in my head what I do. Do you ever do that?
My brother used to do that.
Really?
He's a fucking idiot. No one's going to attack him in Canberra. And like in a fucking. But he used to face the restaurant and he always had one leg cocked. I said, what are you doing that? He said, just in case I'm attacked. I'm fucking got the kick ready, basically.
He always had one leg cocked. Obviously, I don't know your brother, but that's a great eulogy.
I always had
one leg cocked.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you can just...
So always had your hands balled into a fist.
Yeah, I mean, when I was doing martial arts full on, I was a bit, a bit of a fantasist. I'd always, like, my hands... Fisty, you know what I mean? People are very
just ready.
Fisty, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Check my brother out. He's very cocky in the leg region.
Yeah.
Sounds
cocky
that
and
sounds
fisty.
Hard, though. It sounds annoying to always have your hands clenched.
Yeah, it comes from martial arts because you're ready to punch someone in the head, I suppose, and so you just because you do so much clenching when you're doing the martial arts.
That's what I mean, it feels tense. It feels very tense.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely that, the aim is
That's right, yeah, yeah. And sort of then, and I just started to relax my hands a bit more. Hands are quite important. If you learn to relax and the rest of you sort of relaxes along the way.
That's nice advice.
So you just got to, just fucking relax. And you can do stuff with open hand and poke people in the eye and shit, but the fist is more...
Yeah,
Neanderthal.
How do you find doing the voice memos? Do you quite like doing them?
Yeah, I like doing them. I like it when Julie goes out, and I feel a bit impeded when she's there. Like she might overhear me, and it puts a bit of a what's his name on me? When you put it on a car, what is it? When you control the speed of the car, what are they, a regulator?
A regulator.
Yeah, regulator. Yeah, she's a regulator. I've got to wait for her to leave.
Okay. You should start doing, you can do more than one. You like, throughout the day, any thoughts that come to your head, just start recording. You know, it'd be nice for people to hear what goes on in your head throughout the day.
Okay.
It'd be nice to hear some of the characters, the German guy.
Oh, yeah.
I had a dream, minor celebrity, I had a dream was with Adam Hills. I know Adam, and he's not really a celebrity to me, he's just like a normal bloke. But, and he wouldn't give me a lift for some reason. We were in Canberra together, and he said, "Are you getting back to Sydney?" I said, "Oh, I don't know." And I was like, wanted a lift, but I don't think he was keen on giving me a lift.
Yeah.
And your dream, and so you just, what happened there? You just drove off?
No, he drove off, and then I had an anxiety attack. I think two or three anxiety attacks throughout the night.
Yeah.
You know, where they come and go. I've appeared where I have a lot of them, and then I'm reasonably peaceful for a week.
Yeah.
But
I had a weird one. I've been trying to keep this dream diary to compete with you.
Mm.
I actually haven't even read what I wrote, but I bet it was very odd. I wrote something bizarre. I have to write them down in the middle of the night. You can like remember them anyway. That's one thing you got better than us. You got great memory recall. Mm. That's really weird. In a caravan on holiday with a partner after an abortion. That's weird. Jesus Christ. And then Derek Hill, the guy who put that photo up of you on thingy, and his family are trying to abduct us. So I drove down to Poole in Dorset and hid in the sea. So you're really rubbing off on me, Trev.
Yeah, well, I haven't been really focused. I've had no real celebrities in my dreams for about a fortnight.
Yeah.
Do you only really think it's important if there's a celeb in them? Do you never have any ones?
It just makes your dreams a bit more interesting.
Yeah. You're like a commissioner for TV. Can we get a big name in this one?
We
need a big name.
As soon as I get a celebrity again, I'll definitely fucking document it. And well, as long as I don't sink, I'm all right with boats. Actually, I quite like cruising down rivers on a boat and looking at the history and so on.
Trev, your group task this week, which was with producer Joel.
Because we couldn't make it, unfortunately. You went on a boat trip up the London Thames River.
Yeah, that's right. Nice.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah. The weather was no good, was it? But we were inside, and the windows of the craft were like completely filthy.
What sort of boat was it?
What was it? A ferry.
No, I think it's like a catamaran thing, isn't it?
Catamaran type. So you went up there, and I was just thinking, the Vikings probably came up this way, or the Romans were probably on the same fucking river, weren't they?
Yeah.
I've never been up the Thames before, so...
Where did you board?
Embankment.
Nice.
And went down to, all the way down to Greenwich, near the O2, and then just stayed on it and came back.
Oh, nice. Was there anyone else? Were people on it? Because you can take that as just a route. Were people doing it as a journey? Were there people just like you, just doing it for fun?
Oh, they were on a journey. They were going somewhere.
Right.
You know, we just weren't going anywhere, just chatting and talking about life. And
what were you chatting about?
Astronomy.
And,
yeah, the meaning of life. And, our astronomy can sort of freak you out sometimes if you look up and see all the stars.
About how pathetic our existence is.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So it didn't really help your anxiety then, the boat trip?
No, because I suffer from existential anxiety, which can sometimes bring astronomy into it, where I think about the stars a lot and infinity and all this heavy-duty shit, which is quite stressful. I'd rather not think it. I'd rather be thinking about, the fucking cricket, something light-hearted, and suddenly I'm in my own fucking headspace thinking about Venus, going, fuck me. How can we be living in on a ball?
Yeah,
in the middle of outer space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's but that's annoying because we obviously sent you on the boat trip because the boat trip is supposed to be quite
nice and relaxing.
Yeah, then you started crapping yourself about.
Yeah,
but then you said Joel messaged us saying that there was talk of you wanted to go to the Greenwich Observatory.
Yeah, I'd like.
Wouldn't that stress you out even more?
It might do.
Dedicated to these topics.
Sometimes it's the anxiety. It's not the thoughts. It's not. It's the It's the anxiety attached to the thoughts, not the thoughts themselves, because you can think anything. Yeah, I mean, astronomers think about astronomy all fucking day long. They love it, don't they?
It's like they're just stressing out. Yeah,
right.
Oh, my God! All this information!
Oh, my God!
Oh,
he must have been quite stressed out when no one believed him that the Earth is round for the first part of his career.
Yeah, I think they all... The people have known the world's round for 3,000 years, really. The ancient Greeks knew it.
Yeah.
No one believed the world was flat, apart from these religious.
Carl's brother believes the Earth's flat.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What do you think of flat Earthers?
Well, I just look at the moon, which is round. We're subject to the same laws of physics as the moon. So why the fuck should we be flat?
Oh, no. That's
very true.
I think you
nailed it.
Like a booby prize. Everything else is like global and full, and we've got a fucking flat globe or something like that. And I think it's ridiculous. Of course, we're fucking round.
There you go, Wayne.
Yeah, I'll send that to Wayne. Wayne, see what he thinks.
Wake up, Wayne, for fuck's sake.
So you enjoyed the boat trip. Julia on the boat trip?
Yeah, if she wants to go. I probably wouldn't do it again. I've done it. You know what I mean?
So you put her on a boat and stay at home?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. If summer's day and you know, you could be outside. Yes, definitely. But not in a bad weather. No.
But it wasn't as relaxing as you thought because of all the existential thoughts, grubby
windows.
Yeah. I did enjoy it though, you know what I mean? Okay. I do enjoy the.
They have a toilet on the boat.
Yes, there is, Ash. I found a toilet.
What was it like?
Really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice.
There we go. All right. So we'll go to
poem.
Trev's poem.
Poem. All right. Trev's poem of the week. What is this poem inspired by?
The running with you two.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I haven't really got a name for it. I just call it The Race. You know,
yes.
Okay, here we go. This is The Race. Run, Trevor, run. Run like the wind. Run, Trevor, run like your feet have wings. I went for a run today to show my physical prowess, my power, my endurance, and my cat-like finesse. I would show that age was just a state of mind, that I would raise my arms in victory as I crossed the finish line. But the wind I ran like was a breeze, not what I preferred, and the wings on my feet were chickens or some other flightless bird. Chris and Carl bounced along as young men are apt to do. Compared to my aged body, theirs was brand new. No arthritis or exhausted labour grunts. They were doing it easy, the cocky little cunts. We went to the sprint track for the final ultimate test. I would humiliate them and prove that I was best. But when I arrived, I was horrified to see a graveyard right next door, headstones glistening in the sun. It shook me to the core. The lads knew my fear of death created misery. I had no doubt this was a cruel conspiracy to break my spirit and fog my brain and put me off my runner's game. The countdown began. We pounced off the blocks. I'd show these two youngins who was the head cock. But it went pear-shaped. I was heading for a loss. My legs were heavy, so was my breathing, and one of my wings fell off. I finished last, a wounded man with wounded pride. But it was to be expected. Chris and Carl had a graveyard of helpers on their side.
That's nice.
Nice.
I think you're getting even better at the poems, weirdly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just come even more you do on the...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the... I really do enjoy doing the poems.
Yeah, that's good.
Right, yes. that was fun. That was good fun.
Yeah.
Always learn something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a never-ending well of information.
I don't know why. I really enjoyed hearing that his brother had his leg cocked in all restaurants.
I quite like the voice memos.
Yeah, voice memos are just... We want to try and get him in regular,
It's nice to hear him in his own environment, his habitat, yeah. You know, I think we should maybe hook up some little secret CCTV cameras.
That'd be good. Trevcam.
Trevcam.
That was great. So next week, we are, as a group, going to go
boxing, aren't we?
Boxing.
Actually, a proper boxing gym, like East London boxing
gym. Proper geezer.
I can't wait.
I'm a bit scared. I am scared. Trev might beat the crap out of me.
Yeah. But that'll be fun.
And then we'll get him to do some more voice memos as his individual.
It'd be good, because if he could use the camera, he could do video voice memos on the iPad, but that's going to be a next level training. But, you know, there's things we could get him to do.
Exactly. If you enjoyed it, as usual, go on iTunes review. Yep. They really help.
5 stars,
gets
please.
People you know to listen to it is the best.
Recommend
thing.
It. Do a Facebook update or a tweet or an Instagram.
Share it.
Snapchat. I don't know how that
if
works.
If you've got a certain amount of followers.
On Snapchat.
If you've got like 20 followers, don't bother. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone does that anymore. So last year, mate.
No, mate.
Don't know. Maybe it is.
Get in touch @babysittingtrev on Instagram. What was that on?
That's on Twitter.
That's on Twitter.
At Babysitting Trevor.
Facebook.com/Babysitting Trev.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Speak to you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.